While it's impossible not to focus much of our attention on pressing national and international stories, many things are also happening at the state and local level. Such is the case with recent actions by the Texas State Legislature, which threaten LGBT families to a degree we haven't seen elsewhere. There's also a Texas-sized bathroom bill seemingly designed to cause as much harm as possible to transgender Texans. At the forefront of those and other state issues is the nonprofit Texas Freedom Network, and I am delighted to welcome its president and executive director, Kathy Miller. Welcome back to State of Belief.
Thanks so much for having me, Welton.
Let's begin, if we could, with you just giving us a brief summary of where things stand with the adoption bill first. What makes it even worse than similar proposals we've seen in other states?
Both our House and Senate have passed, and it awaits the governor's signature, a bill that would allow child welfare providers to be exempted from any negative actions by the state if they refuse to provide services based on a sincerely held religious belief. So that means a license for an adoption agency can't be rescinded. It means that children can't be taken from a foster home. It means the state can do nothing to intervene if a child welfare provider says that what they're doing is acting on their sincerely held religious beliefs, and that includes refusing to allow same-sex couples to be part of their adoption process, to become foster families. It also includes foster families that refuse hormone therapy for a transgender child, or birth control, or even emergency contraception for a child in their care.
Gosh.
Yep, it's quite bad. It covers virtually every aspect of child welfare. And because Texas does have a child welfare crisis, I think that that crisis kind of pushed people to swallow using religion as a license to discriminate. And it's deeply disturbing and sets terrible precedent for other states.
Kathy, whom is the legislation pandering to?
You know, it's really interesting. Since the Obergefell ruling on the Supreme Court 2 years ago that recognized marriage equality for same-sex couples, there's been a kind of fevered pitch from the far right to chip away at any sense of equality that LGBT Texans might have, to almost make the marriage equality as meaningless as possible. Almost to say, like, we may have to give you a marriage license, but we don't have to recognize your marriage in all of these other ways. The clear target of this legislation is allowing religiously affiliated organizations to discriminate against LGBT folks, but the harms that can occur run the gamut from discrimination based on religion. A Christian organization could refuse to allow a Jewish couple to participate or a Muslim family to participate. It can be based on sex, so you can discriminate against girls. It runs the gamut, and the harms are real and very tragic because the kids and child's welfare are already in incredibly vulnerable situations.
What about the anti-transgender bathroom bill? How similar is this to the controversy we saw play out in North Carolina?
Believe it or not, the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas declared passing a bathroom bill as one of his legislative priorities, as if, you know, roads and schools and health care weren't important. The Senate very quickly, under Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's leadership, passed a bill that was basically saying that transgender folks could be prohibited from using any government facilities that they were most comfortable in. The House has been fairly adamantly opposed to such legislation, but under the threat of a special session just for bathrooms, the House passed a kind of modified version that was just about public schools, and it was just about providing a separate facility for anyone who felt uncomfortable using bathroom or shower facilities that were assigned for them. But the lieutenant governor said that wasn't enough discrimination. Merely allowing discrimination wasn't sufficient. He needs the state to require it.
I'm almost scared to ask you this next question. Are there additional legislative proposals on the radar that you're really worried about right now?
This legislative session, at least 24 anti-LGBT bills were filed. More than a dozen of them were allowing religion to be used as an excuse or a license for discrimination. Most have not made it through. However, on 4 sunset bills, checking the pharmacy licensing and the nursing licensing board and the bar association and the bar licensing folks, they added religious freedom amendments that are being, we hope, stripped out in conference committee. But what we have seen is a tremendous effort to, in a very piecemeal way, whether it's pharmacists or nurses or in child welfare, in judges and lawyers, in a piecemeal way, to radically redefine our centuries-old understanding of religious freedom and allow it to mean that religion can be used to harm people and can be used as an excuse for discrimination. And I think we spend a lot of time talking about how awful this is as public policy, but I also think it's really damaging for faith to have people asserting in the name of religion, and in this case it's almost always in the name of Christianity, that discrimination is a goal. I think that harms people's understanding that faith is about bringing communities together, not dividing us.
What's going on? I mean, in the legislature, is there enough of the anger at reason, or is this coming from a stronger religious political right that's encouraged by the political climate that we're in nationally? Where is this coming from?
I do think that the far right feels emboldened by the outcome of the national elections. They no longer fear that a federal justice department or a president will intervene in their efforts in the states. So I do think they feel emboldened. We have decades of the Republican Party in Texas being hijacked by religious political extremists, and so winning the Republican Party primary is all you need to win statewide election in Texas. It's all most of our elected representatives need to win in the general election in their districts, especially after redistricting. So it's a very tiny percentage of voters in Texas that are really driving this effort in our state legislature. The Republicans are afraid that they will be primaried by the far right if they don't kind of march in lockstep. And then the final piece that I think is happening, Welton, is that the new generation, the millennials, right, they are the most open-minded about issues that seem controversial today, like LGBT equality and like reproductive rights and justice. And there's a fear that in the South, in the Bible Belt, where all of these efforts have taken hold, that the electorate is changing, and it's kind of a rush to pass as much of the agenda of the far right as possible before the tide turns in the electoral arena.
Do you think there's a kind of outrage overload that's starting to affect some activists and other people as this kind of lawmaking just keeps happening again and again? Or are you encouraged that people are continuing to push back?
Both. I'm not sure it's overload as much as a new normal. Like, people go, yeah, that's just how it is now. You know, you kind of get used to these things happening. We saw a tremendous outcry against the bathroom bill in North Carolina. But national attention to what happened here in Texas and the NCAA and the athletes and the celebrities, that didn't happen quite as much here because people get kind of numbed to what's going on. They kind of think, wow, this is just a new normal. And that's very, very dangerous. And that is of great concern. Mm-hmm. But we are a grassroots organization. We believe that the most meaningful and lasting change in our society comes when people lift their voices to demand the changes that will benefit their daily lives. And I've been encouraged to see a very vocal, religious, progressive voice in these LGBT battles. In fact, you know, dozens of clergy showed up for events at the Capitol to sing and to just hold signs that said, "My faith doesn't discriminate." And they've written op-eds and they've been very, very present in this conversation. More than 200 religious leaders across the state of Texas have signed a letter opposing any LGBT discrimination in the name of faith. So I've been very encouraged by that. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think I'm most encouraged by, we're talking about LGBT discrimination, but this legislative session in Texas has been among the worst ever for civil liberties across the board. We've passed legislation banning sanctuary cities. We've passed even more restrictions on access to abortion care and reproductive health care. It's been incredibly challenging across the board, but what I'm seeing is different issue-based organizations, people who care about various issues linking arms and coming together and speaking with one very loud progressive voice. And I think that joining together in that way and standing for one another and being allies in protecting civil liberties for everyone is what is called for during these times, both at the national level and in the states. And I'm encouraged to see it happening pretty organically here.
Kathy, how can listeners to this program get involved in the work that you're doing?
We have a website, as you might imagine, and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So if you are so inclined, go to tfn.org and like and sign up for our notifications and alerts. We will keep folks more than informed about the happenings here around religious freedom and civil liberties and public education, too, which is one of our issues. And I wouldn't be worth my salt if I didn't say, you know, donations are always welcome. But really, we need people to pay attention. The religious refusals, right, the new plan to use religion to discriminate, we need the nation to speak up. And we need people of faith to speak up and to really say that's not what my faith taught me. Like, the golden rule has been thrown out the window. I've been hoping that the nation would turn their eyes to the discriminatory actions of Texas, and I'm still hopeful that they will. So that's my plea.
Kathy Miller is President and Executive Director of the Texas Freedom Network. Follow their work on the anti-gay adoption bill, the anti-transgender bill, and any number of other outrages at tfn.org. Kathy, they say everything's bigger in Texas, and I guess that goes for attacks on minority communities, too. I'm so grateful for you and what you do and that you're willing to be with us again today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. You're very kind. Welcome.